Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us. We're going to talk some college football now with Pete Futek from College Football News. With the Baylor story and what's going on in Alabama and sort of the concept of what's going to be going on in college football with expansion and whatnot, we bring in one of the best in the business. College Football News is a fantastic website. If you're not reading it, you need to be. Pete Futek joins us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. How are you, Pete?
One of the best in the business. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. You are the best in the business. Your cavalcade of whimsy is the best thing on the web.
Now we can have a proper discussion. No, I'm just kidding.
Pete, let me ask you this. With the Baylor stuff, and for brevity, it's serious, but I overview, there seems to be a lot of cover-up here. There seems to be a lot of important people involved in the cover-up. What do you make of all this, of what's going on in Waco?
It's just another case of, you know, this is college football when you have, you know, very powerful people, very, you know, people don't want their fun to be taken away, especially when you've got a Baylor team that's, you know, really strong, really good. And, you know, remember, it's been such a doormat for so long, and now it's finally fun. It's a national powerhouse. Art Briles is doing big things, and yet you have players who are running rampant across the, and just the player allegedly running rampant. So it's a bad enough thing to have, you know, players with alleged, you know, violence incidents, and it's another that this has been a little bit of an issue for, you know, Baylor with just various problems across the board. So this is the off season. This is where you have it. Every year we have the same sort of thing where you have the, you know, all this, you know, what's wrong with college sports? Well, you know, when you have 128 programs and, you know, kids in the city, you're going to have, you know, incidents, and this is what happens in the off season.
There was a talk about how there were cops in Waco who, you know, helped out the football programs. That seems to be pretty common across the board. Is this a proper relationship when you have coaches that want to get a little bit of a heads up when their guys are in a little bit of trouble and police who sort of want to cozy up to football programs?
And I don't know why this can't change. Because it doesn't ever work. I mean, obviously, there's always incidents where you have, you know, the coach is always going to have, you know, knowledge of things and going to be one step ahead of it. And that's sort of how the world sort of works. But if it goes up and it blows up, then the coach always gets blamed, and very, very rightly so. It's a very easy thing that needs to start happening. This comes down from university presidents. This is where it has to just be kind of accepted that if you're a coach, the second anything legally weird happens, you come clean about it and all transparency there, and just say, out of my hands, legal system handling it. And then you let the legal system play itself out, because the second that you start playing judge and tampering and start dealing with that, it always ends up bad for the school and for the coach.
Is there an issue with school presidents who basically want their athletic departments, basically school presidents don't really want to know what's going on with their athletes?
Yeah, they do. You know, school presidents, you know, they really, because they're going to be on the line as well if this stuff starts to break out. So you have to remember, it should be about the university. And, you know, what always seems to happen is, you know, the people who, you know, do care about the school and don't care a lick about athletics or football end up getting shouted down by the meathead types, you know, who get all, you know, threatening and crazy. And that turns out to be the problem. And that's just kind of how the world works. And it works that way in all sports in that way. You always get as soon as you get the super fans who, you know, feel threatened and, you know, someone's going to ruin their fun, they all of a sudden, you know, the claws come out and they all get all nasty.
After this report starts to be digested and after this report starts to be kind of looked at nationally, is Art Briles in any trouble?
I've hit the point now where I'm just going to flatly just say no to all this. Every time you think that a coach should be in trouble, he just isn't and probably gets a raise. You know, it's just like, I don't know how Butch Jones is still at Tennessee. You know, I don't know how some of these coaches survive, you know, some of these things, but they just do. You know, it just nothing ever happens, you know, in any of these cases. It's, you know, usually you find, okay, well, a couple of players are bad apples and we got rid of them and now let's move on. You know, because the game plan on all this, for all these, anytime there's any problems, is delay, 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 delay. And the second the ball gets kicked off in late August, nobody cares about any of this other stuff anymore.
Let's go to Alabama, where Cam Robinson was charged with a possession of a firearm and an illegal substance. And I know a lot of Alabama fans, and I hear from them all the time, and they say, look, you can make two arguments on Nick Saban. He'll keep really good players regardless of trouble because he wants to win football games, but he really does believe in second chances, and he really does believe in trying to use the opportunity to better people. Do you buy that Nick Saban has this sort of dual personality when it comes to athletes that are in trouble in his program?
All coaches believe in second chances when they have when it comes to a first round draft pick. You know, you don't get, you know, for as much as they want to talk about, you know, second chance, otherwise they get launched. Otherwise you get, you know, whenever you get someone who gets, you know, the nebulous violation of team rules or, you know, anything like that, that means either the kid got caught smoking weed or got caught, you know, cheating on an exam or something that they don't want to talk about. And so that's where the, you know, violation of team rules comes into play. You know, Saban is, you know, Saban, you know, he's a football coach and same sort of thing. And, you know, he's at the point though where he will discipline his guys and he will, but this is out of his hands. Again, this is where you say, look, the legal system has to play itself out because on every part of this, otherwise, even if it doesn't, even if you have, then you can take at least the high ground on this. You know, the perfect example is, you know, Jimbo Fisher with Jameis Winston. You know, I have my own beliefs and thoughts about how this was all handled and, you know, what Jameis Winston might or might not have done. But, you know, if you're a Jimbo Fisher, you just say, you know what, we're going to let the system play itself out. And, you know, he wasn't even charged with anything. And so, okay, he's playing. Why can't he play? Because, you know, we let the legal system handle itself. As weird as the legal system was, at least that was his argument. And I think that's what you do if you're Saban. You just say, look, kid's off the team. He's not playing. And then the legal system does what it's going to do. And then that's when we go from there.
Didn't Saban get burned by this one time before with a player? He dismissed a player and then found out the accusations of the girlfriend were not accurate and he ended up being off the team?
Yeah, you know, this always happens in every way, and you always have it on all sides where, you know, it's never easy, it's never right, but again, the easiest way to do this is don't let the coach be the judge and jury on any of this stuff.
Pete Futek joins us, College Football News. Pete, I'm fascinated with people kind of speculating with all of the expansion possibilities and where TV revenue is going and what cord cutting may mean to the sport. Where do you see college football 5-10 years down the road with all of that stuff in the mix?
Yeah, I think the next wave, and I proposed this sort of a long, long time ago, and I still think it's going to kind of happen, where you're going to see the big conferences really cut away from the smaller ones. And what's going to happen is, you know, look at the week one matchups this year. I mean, there's some of the best, it's probably the best opening weekend of college football ever between, you know, just Alabama, USC, LSU, Wisconsin, Ole Miss, Florida State. You know, there's just so many, there's just game after game after game of just big time matchups. And I think eventually that's really what people are going to want to see more and more of. And to get that, you got to kind of dump the minor leagues. But more than that, it's a revenue thing. And, you know, the Michigans of the world don't want to split any of the pie with Eastern Michigan. And, you know, why should they? You know, they're just, you know, you're seeing more and more programs start to think, you know, why do we need football? Or at least at the FBS level. You know, UMass is taking that step down. Idaho, or thinking about taking that step down. Idaho is taking a step down. They're going to the FCS. And it's just, you know, football is very costly to run, especially if you have to fund, you know, all these other, you know, non-revenue sports. So what's going to happen, and I think you're going to see the haves and have-nots just have such a wider chasm, and then I think you're going to kind of see a whole other division of, you know, the MAC teams and some of these other programs that just, you know, don't get the attention that the bigger ones do.
Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com, best in the business. Appreciate it, Pete. Thank you.
Anytime. Have a good one.
All right, we'll continue to talk some college football coming up. As we process all of this stuff, I mean, look, I agree with what he's saying. College football, if you look at this, what's going on in Baylor and say, oh, college football is now in trouble. College football has always been in trouble with this kind of stuff. But I do think this stuff does need to be exposed. And I think collectively we have to come up with a reasonable solution so that coaches don't feel that they should be covering up this stuff because it's bad. And we should know. And there's got to be a way that a player can have his day in court, that a player can go through the due process system, because he does have that right. And we shouldn't be making judgments only on accusations. And we shouldn't just assume automatically that the accusations are true. But if they are, and there's evidence on that, then we have to decide as a sporting public how we want this stuff taken care of. Because Saban has got a player, or Art Briles has got a player, and we got to figure out what we want them to do with them. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.